Good evening and welcome to our services tonight. We are so glad to see many visitors in our crowd tonight. We welcome you back at any and every opportunity that you have to come and be with us here at O'Neill. This morning, Brother Guy talked about how to live. Tonight, I want to talk with you about the Apostle Paul and how he made a statement about, I'm ready to die. Some things in life are quite easy to choose, while other decisions are sometimes much more challenging for us. What if you were told that you would be arrested for teaching about Jesus? Would you have the conviction to teach anyway? What if you knew the consequence for teaching the gospel, teaching Jesus, meant death? How much courage would you have to go and to teach? In Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, we find a picture of both courage and conviction. We see the Apostle Paul, who is very well aware of his continuing his trip and that the possibility of death, the possibility of being imprisoned. However, no one could change his mind. No one could persuade him to do something different. He had his mind set. He had his mind set to do the will of the Father. As we look in Acts chapter 21, we see that there is a certain prophet named Agabus who comes down from Judea, and he goes to Paul, and he takes Paul's girdle or his belt, and he binds the hands. He binds the feet of Paul. He says, "The Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle." This man who owns this girdle is going to be bound. He's going to be imprisoned. He's going to be given over to the hands of the Gentiles. He goes on and he says, so they hear these things. They hear that Paul is going to be, he's going to be imprisoned, and they're beseeching him, they are begging him, "Paul, don't go. Don't go to Jerusalem." But listen to what Paul says. Paul says, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? Why are you crying? Why are you breaking my heart by asking me not to go?" Listen to what he says. "For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Not only will I be imprisoned, I'm ready to die for the name of Jesus. He would not be persuaded otherwise. And finally, they decide, "Hey, we just need to stop. Let the will of the Lord be done." So the question is, are you ready to die for the name of Christ? Are you ready to die for Jesus Christ? When I think about dying, and I think about Paul, and I think about his attitude and his heart, try to think about myself as well. How would I describe my current commitment to Jesus Christ? How would you describe your commitment to Jesus Christ? I'm very well sure that Paul was, he appreciated very much the believers. He appreciated the concerns that they had for his well-being. But his determination to continue following the path that he believed God had laid before him, it was unchanging. He was firm in his position. Self-preservation is not on the agenda of a man or a woman of God who puts God first. If we're putting Him first, we're not talking about ourselves anymore. This body, the things that are in this body, the things that we do, it's all for Him. Jesus is our Lord. And when we place our life into His hands, then we can be sure that He will preserve us one day. We live in a world that there are very few, that the people of principle are becoming short in supply, and the things that are going on now, but Paul was the same way. There were things going on with Paul, but he would not waver. What an example for us to not waver. What an example for us to stand firm in Jesus Christ. Paul in Acts chapter 21, verse 13, remember, what did he say? Not only am I ready to be bound, but I'm ready to die. These are not simple words. There are ones that are grounded with his experiences, his daily living, and the very real possibility in his life that at any opportunity, death was knocking at his door simply because of the faith that he had in Jesus Christ. He was a follower of Jesus, and we know, what does Jesus say about those that follow him? We see in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 37, and he says, whoever will come after me, whoever comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake and for the gospel's, the same shall save it. He goes on and asks the question, what shall it profit a man? If we gain the entire world and we lose our own soul, what profit is there? What are we going to give in exchange for our soul? Do we have the attitude of Paul? Do I have the attitude of Paul? Am I willing to die for Jesus Christ? To answer that question, whether or not I'll die for Jesus Christ, I need to answer another question. Do we fear God or do we fear death? Do we fear God or do we fear death? When we are able to commit our lives fully into the hands of Jesus, then we can truly acknowledge that our future is also in His hands. Paul had told the elders at Ephesus, Church of Ephesus, in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, he had talked to them about how he had served the Lord with humility, with humility of mind, with tears, with temptation. Paul knew the people who were lying in wait, the people who were plotting against him to kill him. But like Jesus, what did he do? He insisted on continuing to do the work that God had given him to do. He told them that he had kept back nothing. He kept back nothing that was profitable. Luke records here in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24, and he says, behold, I go bound to the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that are going to befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saving that bonds and afflictions abide in me. I'm going here to teach. And I know there are things that are going to happen. I know that there are going to be bonds. I know I'm going to be put in prison. I know I'm going to be persecuted. I know that there are afflictions that are going to come upon me. But listen to what he says. He knows going to these places. But he says, none of these things move me. Being in prison, being persecuted, possibility of death, none of those things moved him. What faith. What faith that he had here in little Athens, Alabama. We don't face the difficulties that Paul faced. Not yet, anyway. Nor our brothers and sisters who may be teaching in foreign countries. But we are equally called to finish the race, to finish the course. We are equally called to share the gospel. Because what is he going to say? These things don't move me. I don't even count my life dear unto myself. I'm going to finish the course. And how am I going to finish it? With joy. You mean to tell me, Paul, that you know that you're going to be put in prison, you know that you have a possibility to die, but you're going to go ahead and finish it, and you're going to be happy? Yes. He's going to be happy sharing the gospel. God could count on Paul. Can God count on us? When we're faced with death, when death is at our doorstep, are there things that we think about that we would do differently? I've talked to several people who at this congregation and death was at the doorstep, and the things that goes through your mind, the things that you have to think about. Irma Bombeck, she was a lady who had come down with a fatal disease. And so she had written a poem. And she, of course, she has died. But once she knew that she had this fatal disease, she wrote this poem. And it said, if I had my life to live over. She said, if I had my life to live over, I would have talked less and listened more. I would have invited friends over to dinner, even if the carpet was stained and the sofa faded. I would have eaten popcorn in the good living room and worried much less about the dirt when someone wanted to light the fire in the fireplace. She said, I would have taken the time to listen to my grandfather ramble about his youth. I would have never insisted the car windows be rolled up on a summer day because my hair had just been teased and sprayed. If I had my life to live over, I would have burned that pink candle sculpted like a rose because it melted in the storage. She said, I would have sat on the lawn with my children and not worried about grass stains. I would have cried and laughed less at watching movies and more while watching life. I would have shared more responsibility carried by my husband. I would have gone to bed when I was sick instead of pretending that the earth would go into a holding pattern if I weren't there for the day. I would have never bought anything just because it was practical, because it wouldn't show soil or was guaranteed to last a lifetime. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy, she said, I would have cherished every moment and realized the wonderment growing inside me was the only chance in life to assist God in a miracle. When my kids kissed me impetuously, she said, I would have never said, later, now go get washed up for dinner. There would have been more I love yous, more I'm sorrys. She said, but mostly, given another shot at life, I would seize every minute. I would look at it, I would really see it, I would live it, and I would never give it back. If we had life, if our life was there, we had it to live over, would we love more and hate less? Would we give more and take less? Would we serve more and be served less? Would we give ourselves wholly to Jesus and less to ourselves? Would Jesus be the authority of our life? See, the secret of Paul's determination and his success had really nothing to do with him being stubborn or unwilling. It was because his loyalty was to the Lord who loved him and gave his life to save him. As we see in his loyalty and as some of these verses that Brother Guy pointed out this morning, and we had the as Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose, I want not, he says. I'm in a strait between two, and I want to depart and be with Christ, but which is far better. To live is Christ. To die is gain, because we gain the home with Christ. Life is not ultimately about me. It's about Him. And when we realize this, when I realize this, think about the things that we can accomplish in the service to our Lord. What did Paul realize? Paul realized the love of God. Paul realized that what Jesus had done for him. We see in Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us while we were yet sinners. What did He do? He died for us. Christ died for you. He died for me. Paul knew that he was a sinner. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. He says that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He says, I'm the chiefest of sinners, and Christ came to save me, the one who was the worst of all. He knew the innocent Jesus. He knew that He was the one that died in His place. He died in the place of sinners. He died in your place. He died in my place. You see, our desire to live the best that we can comes from the fact that we should have been punished for our sins. But Jesus hung there for our sins. The agonies He endured were ours. And He bore them as our substitute. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." What did Paul realize? Paul realized the sacrifice of our Savior. When we read here in Isaiah, what a picture that you can get in your mind here. "Surely He hath borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows." Who was this? Our Savior. Our griefs, our sorrows were on Him. We esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, for my transgressions. Chastised with our peace was upon Him. But with His stripes, our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, we're healed. We're healed. Paul realized that we live by faith. He realized, and Brother Guy used this verse this morning, but it applies tonight. He realized about living by faith. He realized that he was crucified with Christ. "Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but it was Christ that was living in him. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." In our class on Wednesday night, we're talking, going through Acts, and you see this over and over again. When he's going, he's teaching, he's preaching, and he's telling them about Jesus. How many more times do we need to say, "He died for us, that we should be the ones on that cross"? Paul realized, though, even though he was the chiefest of sinners, he realized that God forgives. How wonderful it is to know when we are faced with death, that whatever is in our life, we know that if we're a child of His and we can ask Him, He will forgive us. We see here in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, He says, "My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." He took our spot, so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. Paul realized that with that forgiveness, with that washing away of that old life of Saul, he could have a new life in Christ as Paul the Apostle. He realized in Romans chapter 6 when he said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Should we just keep on sinning because there's the grace of God? It's going to take care of us." He said, "God forbid. Don't keep sinning. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that as many of you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into His death." We're baptized into His death. We are buried with Him in baptism. That Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. We die. We're buried. We're raised up. When we're raised up out of these waters of baptism, we walk in a new life. A new life that is in Christ. Not one that is that we are used to, that old way of life, that old way of sin, that old way of death. Paul realized there was a better life. A better life that is yet to come. That's why he said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, he says, "You forgetting those things which are behind." Just imagine all the people that he put in prison. Imagine the votes that he cast for people to be killed. Imagine the havoc that he wreaked on the church. But he knew about forgiveness. He knew about the life to come. He knew once that's put behind him, let's put it behind us. Let's forget it. When we forget it, what do we do? He says, and reaching forth to those things that, which are before. What's before me? He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's something far better for us. What did Paul realize? Paul realized that death's at the door. Death is at the door. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered." He said, "The time of my departure is at hand. I'm not going to be here much longer, Timothy. But I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. I fought. I finished. I kept." When those things happen, what do we have? He says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Have you fought the good fight? Are you fighting the good fight? Are you working on finishing the course? Are you keeping the faith? There's something that's greater for us. I realize that Paul knew that death was at the door. But I also know, too, that one day death is going to be at my door. Death is going to be at my family's door. One day there will be a tomb rock that has my name, my birth date, and my death date. There will be a time when my wife, her birthday will be on there and her death date will be on there. I know that we're going to die. It's appointed to a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. So then I ask myself, if today marked the end of our life, are you ready to die? But a better question, are you ready to live? Are you ready to live? When you and I die, I don't want anyone in this building to be lost. I love my brothers and sisters at O'Neill. The song of invitation is, "There's a great day coming." 674. There's a great day coming. What is that great day coming? It's for when saints and sinners are going to be parted right and left. There's going to be a bright day. And what's that bright day for? If the brightness is only going to come to them that love the Lord. There's going to be a sad day. What's that sad day for? That sad day is when the sinner is going to hear his doom. "Depart, I know you not." Are you ready for that day to come? If you have sin in your life, confess it. If you're not a child of God, become one. The invitation of Jesus Christ is yours. Won't you come while together we stand?